Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2. This is our 43rd program for 2021. Yahoo! And yes, it's another beautiful day in my consciousness. And here are my friends.
Hey, this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton coming to you from Durham, North Carolina. And it is definitely another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And this is the Reverend Dr. Bill Holton. And I'm also coming to you from the Durham end of our table. And it's very definitely another beautiful day in my consciousness as well. And as you guys know, Cher and I are the co-founders of an events-driven unity ministry. And our name is the Unity Center for Universal. Why Universal? Because it's about you. prosperity.com.
And you can find us at ucfyp.com. Lots of stuff there waiting for you to help you.
Yeah, and I love that. It's about you because metaphysics begins with you and ends with you.
Yes.
Then it's you use it to be better in the world with others, don't we?
Yep.
So I have my website, paulhasselbeck.com, where you'll find my calendar, as well as The Absolute Word, which is my weekly blog, which you'll hear one at the end of this program. This is part two, looking at some of those sayings that Cher collected that are in addition to the 50 we have in our books, Get Over It and Get Over It Too. And so we're looking at them, we're talking about them, we're going to give a few rewrites of them to give you a tease, because we see a third book coming.
Yahoo!
Cher, get us going.
All right. This one is one that all of us agreed we would spend some time on discussing because it's one that we hear quite often. We made a contract for you to hurt me so I could learn forgiveness.
Yeah. So this is taught in programs called Radical Forgiveness, which I had to take when I was in ministerial school. And I just don't like this because that lets the perpetrator off the hook and makes the one that was perpetrated on the victim. And having said that, I have met people that have shared with me that this idea that, let's say they made a contract with their father to abuse them before they came in to this incarnation, helped them get over it with their father. And so we always have to default to, if a person uses it for their good, well, we just have to say fantastic, right? But boy, this is not something I would ever teach.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is we add to that, you know, that it is not a belief that we can support based on what we believe. And to me, it just sends the wrong message that that kind of behavior is okay. First,
yes.
And that there's plenty of opportunities to learn forgiveness, for example, just in daily life without having to set it up before you come in.
Yeah. And also, when you think about it, it could work both ways, too, because the inference here, of course, is in a pre-life existence, a past incarnation, because it could also apply to your current life if you did something to hurt somebody else, and then that somebody else actually did something to hurt you to teach you forgiveness. That sounds like revenge to me, even in this life.
It does. And I just had a flash of someone who does something to hurt somebody, and they go, oh, that really hurt. Well, I did that to you so you could learn forgiveness.
And I had no choice. I promised you I would do that.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I don't subscribe to this. And you can read what our rewrite is in our next book. So what's the next one?
Okay, so the next one is, well, interesting. I kind of alluded to that when I was just talking. The next one is, I had no choice.
Oh, my God.
This one is like fingernails on a chalkboard to us when we hear it. In fact, I've been sitting in not for the past couple of years, but we used to go to the movies a lot. I would even sit in a movie theater, and if I heard one of the characters say it, I just want to jump up and say, yes, you did.
Well, that somehow sounds like you, Cher.
Yeah.
I don't think we need to say anything more about that. The better phrase is, I always have choices. Everyone has choices. Definitely. And when you think you have no choice, it's time to take a deep breath, relax, and look again.
Yes.
Because you've eliminated the other choices for unreasonable reasons.
Can I just take a minute to dig a little deeper into that statement?
Well, I hope so.
Because I the power here, the fact that you know you have choices is what really gives you a power, an inner power. And even if you don't like your choices, recognizing you have choices and then you make it for a reason, gives you that. Even if it's an illusion of power in the situation, you are now more in control.
Yes.
For example, if it's a job you hate and you say, well, I don't have any choice, I have to be here. Well, just take a moment to evaluate all your possible choices. You could quit. You could start applying for other jobs. You could go to your boss and explain why you hate your job. You could, you know, get all these choices. In the end, you may decide, yeah, I'm just going to stay here because there's so many positives of the money, the benefits. Now you're here because you chose to be here, not because someone forced it on you.
I am really glad you expanded on that. And I'm wondering if the people who believe this are of the belief that everything's in divine order, that there's a God that predetermines everything. And so this becomes a fatalistic comment, doesn't it?
Exactly right. It sure can. Sounds like. And what's interesting is science proves that I had no choice is absolutely wrong. It's falsehood. It's called the bear shifts potential.
Yes.
A third of a second built into us in our DNA between thought and action. And we have a choice as to what kind of action we'll take. It's built in. That pause gives us time to make a different choice.
So will you repeat that amount of time? Because I think I spoke over you when you said that. How much is that time?
A third of a second.
A third of a second. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, that's not any time at all. But remember when you'll watch the Olympics that people win for less than a third of a second difference. So yes.
It's a lot of time, really. And that's the power. I think that's really the foundational science behind taking a deep breath before.
Yes.
It's to remind you that you can think here for a second. You don't have to immediately respond.
Yeah. Well, so now I'm going to calmly connect this to something else we teach, is that deep breath causes a calm and connect response. If you do several of those, so that first, take a deep breath, take a few more, because that releases the biochemistry that you will physiologically calm down. And when you do that, there's the biochemistry that also helps you to feel connected with others instead of disconnected. So there's good reason to breathe.
Yes. And you always have choices.
Always. You may not like them, but you always have them.
You get to choose which choice you're going to be living with, whatever it is.
Right. So shall we go on to the next one?
Or let's go to number 12. God took him or her because he needed him or her more than I did.
Would you repeat that again?
Yeah. And I'll just do him to make it smoother.
Yeah.
God took him because he needed him more than I did.
Well, wait a minute. We can make this 21st century English.
God took
them because he needed them more than I did. Now that them is singular too. Oh, have I heard this one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That goes along with God called him home.
Yeah. Yeah. And it said, of course, it's a comfort, a phrase to bring comfort.
Yes.
But to me, that is not very much of a comforting statement. Well, who does God think he is that, you know, he could determine that? Just, I mean, God.
Well, in that belief system, God is all powerful and God can do anything that God wants. Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow. So I got to share this one because it's just funny and stupid. So the saying is, God took them because they needed them more than I did. The replacement is they died. I think we're going to have to do that better when we do the book. But
yes, and we probably want to say here, we certainly have compassion with people who are going through a loss, and that it's not something that we take lightly. Yeah. And we don't want people to get that feeling either, but that it's God didn't pull that person out. It's there's a lot of reasons why somebody makes that transition.
Well, so when you're in that belief system, I've shared this story before, I'll make it short. School bus is hit by a drunk driver. Half the kids are killed. The ones that are killed, the parents are saying, God called them home. And the ones that lived are saying, God saved my child. Mm-hmm. So, but the implication there is, oh, God had no need for your child right now. So what?
God decided he wasn't going to save yours, depending on which side you're on. Yep.
Yep. And what kind of quote unquote God would do that?
Right. I mean, so what I say is that traditional Christians have sayings that cuts God a break at every choice point.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Because God knows everything.
Well, God knows. Okay, I'm going to do the next one. Only the good die young. I mean, isn't there a song about that?
There's a song about that. Those of us who have passed the stage where we would even by a stretch be called young start to think, so we're not good.
Right. And again, this is one of those phrases that you might hear someone say to a parent who lost a child, only the good die young. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to share the replacement for this one. And we're not guaranteeing we're going to use these in the book. Good people die at all ages.
Right.
That's just the facts.
Mm-hmm. And we could get into a very deep meta-spiritual discussion on good. What does the word good mean as we define people?
And if I had the song that did the whistle, dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee, we could say the good, the bad, and the ugly people die.
Yeah. talking about ugly, I'm sitting here thinking of this, only the good die young. Is that reasoning? Is that justification for sending our 20-somethings, late teens off to war? Is that to justify that decision?
No, because the Army drafts them young because when they're young, they can't think straight.
There you go.
They can brainwash them quickly.
No, their brains aren't developed to age 25. Wow. Okay, Cher, go to the next one.
All right. We may get in trouble for this podcast. Yeah.
I certainly hope so.
All right. How about this next one? Bloom where the Lord planted you.
Yeah. So that's another one of those feel-good phrases that you're in a crappy situation, but the Lord planted you there, so make the best of it. It's like, buck up, bucko, right?
And again, who can believe in a power that would put you in a horrible situation?
Oh, because that power wanted you to learn something.
Right, or you could bring teaching to that situation, one or the other. But it's just so convoluted.
Well, it's because some people believe that we're here to learn lessons.
Right.
We believe that we're here to lessen self-defeating learning.
There we go. That's great. And my saying isn't as clever as that is, I'm not sure we're here to learn lessons, but while I'm here, I can choose the lessons I learn.
Yes, there you go too.
Definitely.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah, both of those are so powerful. And it kind of is bloom where you find yourself. Wherever I am, I want to bloom. I want to be the best me
I can be.
That's
true.
Yeah.
But that
reminds me, do we have that saying on our list? We're here to learn lessons?
I think we've done that one. Yeah, I think.
You think we've done that one? Okay. Yeah. Well, when we've had 50, it's hard to remember. Remember, I didn't die young, so I have these little troubles. Okay. We'll have to double check just to be sure.
Yes.
Okay, next one.
The next one, opportunity only knocks once. And we hear this a lot. I mean, in a lot of different settings, we hear this phrase.
Yep.
Just, I mean, what happened to the field of infinite potential?
It just dried up.
One door.
Oh my gosh. And on my inner circle last night, one of my members is reading Deepak Chopra's book, The Seven Keys to Success, or something like that, that he wrote in like 1994. There's something in there where he says, there's only one right choice.
Oh my goodness.
What? So we got to go back to read Deepak, just like we need to go back to read more of Eckhart to look at those phrases. And by the way, Bill, you and I need to go back and look at our books where we did that.
Anything you write from the past, you just want to call them all back and say, let me rephrase that, please.
Now, an analogy, if there's only one right choice, then writers don't need editors.
They don't. Yep, that's good. That's good.
Now, there might be only one right choice to choose from your highest awareness, your highest level of consciousness.
Because that would be saying that there's only one choice, that there probably are many we can choose from our highest level.
And anything we can then choose to use from our highest level.
So I just thought of something. Are writers people who always do right? It took you a second, didn't it? There was a boom, boom.
In which case, again, do we really need editors?
I do. I'm just saying. Okay, so what's the next one?
So the next one, have we talked about the fact that, I just want to reemphasize, we believe opportunity is always available.
Right.
Holds opportunities for
us. Yeah, so we might as well share the phrase that at least I put for the time being. So the phrase we're undoing is opportunity only knocks once. The replacement I'm suggesting is opportunities are always knocking.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. And we like that.
Absolutely.
And it's just, which one do we want to listen to? And I guess the thing here is just digging a little deeper again. Sometimes believing there's multiple opportunities can be just as paralyzing as believing there's only one. It only knocks once, because too many choices can put you in a place of freeze if you're not.
Yeah. So what's that saying? Analysis paralysis or something.
Paralysis of analysis. Yes. People who fit in that category, and they'll plan forever because they can't make a choice. They can't decide.
And I'm also thinking maybe one of the reasons people don't sense the opportunities is that maybe instead of opportunities knocking, they ring the doorbell.
Well, I think on that funny note, pa-dum-pum.
The absolute word is calling us.
The absolute word is based on Sunday messages appearing in Daily Word. A copyrighted Unity publication has been used with permission. And this one comes from Sunday, December 5th, 2021. The word is peace. I claim peace no matter what. In the revealing word, Charles Fillmore said, by the term mind, we mean God, the universal principle which contains all principles. The principle of peace is one of those principles. So in my divinity, I am divine peace. In my humanity, I am peaceful. I turn my thoughts and feelings to peace through meditation and prayer. When I experience a sunset, a gentle hug, or a comforting touch, I choose to experience peace too. I can be peaceful inside, regardless of what is happening outside. When I focus on peace, worries and troubles melt away. The principle of peace is greater than any worldly condition or inner experience. Utilizing the principle of peace, I remain centered and calm. I don't move off center in the face of minor irritations, nor do they linger in my awareness. I claim peace no matter what. And so it is. Thank you, friends, for listening. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck signing off. Goodbye, Bill. Goodbye, Cher.
Goodbye. This is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton saying thank you for listening.
This is Reverend Dr. Bill Holton. And yes, thank you for listening as well. And remain peaceful this week.